You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be rejoined.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Nick Lamone is joining us once again.
I'm back, baby.
Wow. Ooh, he's even got a cool catchphrase. I love this guy. We got a great show for you this week. I'm proud to present the first annual Damey Halfies.
Oh, the Halfies.
We're halfway through the year. Oh, yeah, the Halfies. We're going to take a look. We're going to take a look at a July 2011 issue of the official PlayStation magazine. You know, I think we'll find it's interesting is even though this magazine is much more recent than the magazines we usually look at, there are so many games that I've just completely forgotten about. That I was like, oh, yeah, we covered that. Yeah. But first.
Ones that we all reviewed.
Yeah. All the games I reviewed. But first, next week is Comic-Con. And as usual, IGN will be there. I have all my housekeeping notes right here. IGN returns to San Diego Comic-Con July 20th through July 24th. We'll be on hand to bring you all the latest in the world of movies, TV, comics, games, and more. Our live show will be running Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd. We'll be streaming across all IGN's platforms, IGN.com, YouTube, and all of our social channels. I'll be there, so tune in or be tuned out. I need catchphrase advice from Nick, I think.
Tune in or beware.
Yeah.
Tune or in else. Or miss out.
It looks like a good Comic-Con too. Like the lineup is incredible. I mean, Lord of the Rings alone I'm excited about, and then like there's just gonna be tons of Marvel and stuff like that there too. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm just curious to see how much of its former self Comic-Con can reclaim after taking 2 years off, right?
And it's going to be great.
It's usually a really good time.
No spoilers, and I'll probably be executed if I do reveal spoilers, but it's probably going to be a pretty stacked Comic-Con on the old IGN live show. So I say, check it out.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Check it out. Tune in and check it out. okay, anyway, the Damey Halfies, halfway through the year. So I've started, of course, the Dameys, big hullabaloo at the end of the year, very prestigious award show. So I've started like putting together my short list. So today I'm just revealing some nominees, not picking any winners today. These are just nominees for the Dameys that are going to be coming.
You can call Damey nominees Dominees, and you can call the red carpet the dead carpet. You just add a D.
Yeah. This is pretty good. All that stuff's good.
So good material.
The nominees for the best game I've played this year so far are Horizon Forbidden West, Elden Ring, Tunic, which I still need to finish, Rogue Legacy 2, which I have finished, and Triangle Strategy,
which I also still need to finish.
You're never going to finish that game. I still need to finish it.
I am traveling next week to Comic-Con, so I'll have some time on the plane and in the hotel room to.
You know, I'm going to play during the next travel sesh I'm doing is Live Alive, because that looks like a really great version of one of these triangle likes.
There's a clear, and I'm not casting aspersions on any particular game, but there's a clear pity nomination amongst this list of games.
A pity nomination?
Nominee wasn't the right word. I'm just saying there's these three games that I know Damon loved to death, and then one that's like, well, okay.
And it's Triangle Strategy.
Which one
strategy?
Do you think that is?
Yeah.
Triangle Strategy. I like it enough to nominate. Look, it's not going to win.
I think when you talked about this game on the show, I think you described it as boring.
No, you said it was a boring game. No. It's just that there's so much dialogue.
This is the same way people talk about games they love. That's how they always.
There's just so much dialogue.
You can skip all of it. You can skip all of it and just go back to the battles.
You know what else has so much dialogue?
Skip most of it.
You know what else has so much dialogue is Better Call Saul. And it's I don't think any show has ever won more Emmys. So
Better Call Saul maybe nominated for a Dammy Award later on.
That
show doesn't have someone suplexing a horse, though. Project Triangle Strategy does.
I'm curious to know what all your short lists for the best games you've played this year so far would be, Sam.
Well, let me just say that if you skipped just to the fighting scenes in Better Call Saul, it'd still be a pretty good show.
It sure would. It sure would.
Oh, yeah. I'm Tunic all the way. Did you mention Tunic?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Tunic's on my list, and then the other games I played this year didn't come out this year that I really like that I've talked about in the show. So it's really just Tunic for me. I haven't liked a lot of games this year so far.
Okay. Tunic's great.
My brain does this weird thing where it's like I just forget every single video game that I played whenever I'm asked a question like this. Mm. I like TMNT a lot. Yeah. What else came out this year?
Well, we all liked Horizon. I just don't know if I'm going to be nominating that by the end of the year for stuff. I like the end of Horizon a lot.
I also spent like 3 or 4 months at the beginning of this year playing all those Lego games.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
and I played the new Lego game, but I didn't like it. Did you try the new one?
I will not, because I'm doing them in order. That's going to be the capstone on the whole project.
It is not possible.
Wait, did you say you didn't like Skywalker Saga, Sam?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I played it for about maybe two hours or so, which is a little 2 hours too long for me. It's just, you know, this type of I'm too bored. The TMNT also, I've now given it a couple hours and it's just too boring for me. It's just,
oh man,
I can't just walk around and hit stuff anymore in games. They got the hook. But it looked good. It was pretty.
I somewhat agree about TMNT. I had fun playing it, but you know, it's only. Mm-hmm. 3 hours long, maybe, and you know, there's just not much to the gameplay.
But I've touched like down it. On Tatooine and everything. Like I played through the whole ship intro.
As part of this Lego project, by the way, I spent literally over $200 on Lego Dimensions, just junk, in anticipation of when I get to that game. Because once you get started, it's like, well, okay, I got to buy this goddamn thing to have access to the Simpsons world. And like, I can't not have access to the A-Team world. So now I have to buy a little B.A. Baracus.
I think that's really cool that you did that.
So in theory, I have all the stuff I need to 100% that game now. And then it's like, it was definitely one of those moments where it's like, what am I doing with my life?
Speaking of Lego Star Wars, I've been watching Lego Star Wars Droid Tales on Disney Plus with my son, and I think it's from like 2015. Oh. I think it's actually pretty funny. I regularly laugh out loud. Even though it's meant for kids.
Is it about the droids, R2-D2 and C-3PO?
So
it takes
place right after Return of the Jedi when they're like cleaning up after the battle. And C-3PO is telling everyone, all the main characters of Star Wars, the story of what happened and everything. Cause like he was there in Phantom Menace and all these characters like Han Solo and Lando don't know about what happened in Phantom Menace. So
Whoa,
it's a retelling
awesome.
Of everything. It's pretty,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Now you can go. You can go to the '80s cartoon droids after that and just be really disappointed.
I mean, that's also on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I remember being so excited for that to be done, so I could watch the Ewoks cartoon.
Is the Ewoks better?
Hell yeah!
Okay, Nick, what's your short list of best games you played this year?
Oh man, in descending order, Elden Ring is at the top for me because I am predictable. And then after that, I just truly started it the other day, but I've already poured in like 4 hours and I'm absolutely obsessed with it, is Tunic. I'm loving Tunic. Number three, Neon White so far. Ooh. And then the final game that I really like, but I don't know if it counts since it's still early access, is Peglin on Steam. Love me Peglin. Some Peglin.
Peglin, explain.
It's a roguelike turn-based RPG where all of your combat inputs are done via a game of Peggle. It's fantastic.
What? Ooh.
It's really good.
They got away with including half of the word Peggle in their title?
It's Peglin. So I guess it counts. You play as like a little goblin who's a Peglin goblin. It's really good. Mm. Highly recommended. Still in early access, though. So
I guess Peggle doesn't own the concept of pegs. So
yeah, Peggle itself is a pachinko like, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Ode to Joy does not play. That's my favorite part of Peggle.
Celebration.
Peglin looks great. There was an Apple Arcade game called Round Guard that sounds very, very similar to what you're describing like a Peggle roguelike RPG. So curious to see how they're different.
And you said it's on Steam?
Yeah, it's on Steam.
Okay, well, my Steam Deck just shipped, and an IGN one that I, had reserved, but I'm really excited, so maybe I'll try that before turning it over to the office library.
It's the perfect Steam Deck kind of game.
Sounds like it.
Highly recommended.
Cool. Peglin.
Cool. Okay, next category, the best game I played this year that wasn't released this year, only one nominee so far, and that's the Capcom Beat-em-up Bundle. I just never picked it up. It was released in 2018.
Oof. Yeah.
And it includes Final Fight, King of Dragons, Captain Commando, Knights of the Round, Warriors of Fate, Armored Warriors, and Battle Circuit. I've just been playing my way through those.
Dude, have you played Battle Circuit before? That game rules.
I hadn't played it before, but you're right. It is very cool.
Mm. It's like a mech beat-em-up, mech brawler.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I've only seen the flyer for that.
And then I just Captain Commando is the one I most recently played through, and that game is very enjoyable and it's very short. Has anyone played Captain Commando?
Yeah, I have. I played in an arcade. Well, like at California. No, is that like a weird like warehouse that they were selling arcade games at? I was like, is this a Captain Commando? And it was a converted X-Men because that was at the time of Brawlers. You know, that's kind of that Simpsons time, but it's a generic character. And I say generic, knowing fully well that I think Capcom made him as a mascot because on the back of Capcom manuals, it's like Captain Commando says and stuff like that. But it's really drab compared to X-Men or any other Capcom beat-em-ups.
Well, it's just like that Captain Commando mascot thing was like from the 80s and the NES. And then this arcade game is from the early 90s. So it's weird that they chose to go that direction.
It's not that interesting. Like it's not as cool as
it's kind of interesting. One of the characters is a mummy.
That's true.
Called Mac the Knife.
Yeah.
There's not too many games where you can play as
a mummy.
That
makes no sense.
Yeah, you're not allowed to call your mummy that.
So you can play as four playable characters. Captain Commando, who's just a generic like superhero guy. Mac the Knife, the mummy. Then there's a ninja. And then there's a baby in a mech.
Yeah, the baby in the mech. That's right.
That's pretty good.
Now, games like that from the time that are not, the mainstream ones, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs is pretty crazy and cool and looks really good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's my answer for the best game I played this year that wasn't released this year.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs?
I got like a really big heavy arcade stick and I've been playing a lot of arcade games on my computer. So I did Cadillacs and Dinosaurs deserves to be in like the AAA tier of Brawlers.
Isn't it cool?
But like Final Fight's the one that everybody remembers. But like I played through like Violent Storm and Night Slashers, which Damon, Night Slashers is like
I play it every Halloween. It's great.
It's so good. It's like a zombie vampire themed beat 'em up with like really cool magic and special attacks, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. But then I also played, I guess actually the true best game I played this year that wasn't released this year was I played through not every single one, but probably half of the cave shmups. So, Death Smiles and Dodonpachi and like all the rest of them. I went through a lot of them too.
Rules. Oh man.
Dodonpachi is my favorite shoot 'em up of all time.
When I played a lot of the non-cave ones. I played through like Gunbird and Demahoo and like all these other ones. And like again, those games are all great, but like cave's on another level. Like if you play them back to back, it's just so smooth and so perfect and just
I have a list of shooters I actually haven't played and I want to check out. Demahoo is one of them. There's a few others. There's so many on here. Battle Back Raid. So Battle Garega.
Battle Back Raid.
I know.
Battle Garega is so good.
A sequel to Battle Garega, and I want to play that.
And you got to add Ibarra onto that list. Ibarra is really good. Cyvern's really good. Cyvern is like, I think that's the one that's side-scrolling. It looks a little bit like R-Type, but you're riding on the back of a dragon. And like the dragon has this big tail that like
Dragon Force, is that what it's called?
Well, there's Dragon Spirit.
Dragon Spirit, that's it, yeah.
And then Capcom. The sequel to that, Dragon Saber, is out on Arcade Archives today.
Cool. That's super weird.
I'm gonna get that one.
I went on a vacation and stopped, but I've been playing through because those games are short if you actually like just play through, they're like 30 minutes long. So I've been playing through like two or three of them a night, and it was like the best. Pure like gaming experience that's humanly possible.
Awesome. Yeah, so good.
And you can just feed in quarters to continue if it's the arcade version, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I shove them in the disk slot of my laptop.
Still got to pay. Okay, best pixel art. I have two nominees: Triangle Strategy and TMNT Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, TMNT is amazing pixel art. It has that going for it.
So does Triangle Strategy, and just like a very different. Different pixel styles. For best music, I only have two nominees, Horizon and then actually Sifu. Nick, you played Sifu, right?
Yeah. I agree with that.
It's just like a solid like action movie soundtrack. It's like typical of what you would hear in a martial arts action movie, but really well done.
Well, I'll also throw in there that the TMNT soundtrack is really cool too.
That's true.
It has good Konami sounding instrumentation.
Actually, I'm adding that nominee right now in real time.
Nice. You can do that?
I can do that.
Dominated.
They fly now?
Yeah.
I know you haven't played it yet, or maybe you played it and I didn't like it, but Neon White, fantastic soundtrack. It has that like 2000s era. I'm plugging into the Matrix and I'm just pulling off all these cool moves. It's great. Good stuff. Yeah,
I need to check out Neon White. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, it sounds great.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. Okay, best new TV show. A few nominees. There's been good stuff. All of Us Are Dead on Netflix. Another really? Korean zombie show.
All of Us Are Dead is great, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. Okay. It takes place in a high school. Ooh. That was really good. Peacemaker. I was surprised at how
so fun. What a fun show.
Same here.
Tokyo Vice, which is on HBO, I think.
That's next on my list.
We stand Michael Mann in this house, yes.
Yeah. Tokyo Vice is good. Based on a true story, based on a person who's actually I don't know if a friend or an associate of Per Schneider, actually. And then Severance on Apple TV is perfect amazing.
Show. Yep.
Amazing.
Ridiculous cliffhanger, though. Like, nothing's resolved. It just drives me crazy.
But it's great.
The best possible way, the best season finales.
It's also one of those shows which, like, I don't really think they can resolve stuff. It's like Lost, where it's just like the mysteries are going to be more interesting than the answers. And
maybe. But, I mean, for a first season of TV, it is perfect.
The one twist that's revealed is amazing.
Well, I don't know which one you mean, but...
Oh, just about the one of the lead characters, the lady lead character.
Okay. Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's like, it's just like the premise of the show can be explained in a sentence or two, but then the world, like, it's just like such a big idea. They could almost do like an anthology thing where you just explore different people and, you know, that would affect them.
It almost has like a Portal 2, it's also like Portal 1, but Portal vibe with like how it's like there's some kind of mass experimentation that's like kooky going on, which I think is also good.
Their workplace is kind of like, dated, it's 70s-ish.
Yeah, exactly. It's 70s workplace themed. And Loki has that too.
It also has that like tongue-in-cheek corporate humor that's like anti-corporate. So it does, it feels very in line with what a Portal show would look like. Yeah,
exactly.
I think the show, like, it's not intended to be a comedy at all, but I think it's like oddly funny. Like throughout it, like, it's really good.
Yeah.
And then there's that waffle party scene at the end. It's crazy. There's
great laugh lines. And then
the waffle party's great.
I'm really, really excited to find out what the hell the goats are about. I just love the goats. The goat room.
There's no way that answer is not going to be disappointing.
At one point, they reference the goat room at some point, too, where they're like, do you think that's what the goats are about?
Yeah. Damon, did you watch Station 11?
No, but I think that was last year, right?
No. Well, I mean, maybe it was December.
Very early this year.
I definitely watched it January.
Me too.
And to me, it's like, that's something that's just going to stick with me forever. It's like such a perfect miniseries.
So it's done. It's over.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. It's one and done based off a book.
All right. Well, I'll have to check that out.
And you didn't like Our Flag Means Death, which I really liked.
I haven't watched that one.
Oh, okay.
The Bear. You got to watch The Bear. It's on Hulu. Fantastic.
I've seen that, but I don't know what it is or what it's about.
It's like a behind-the-scenes look at a kitchen in Chicago, and it's all the drama and all the comedy of it. Think behind-the-scenes chef stuff, a la Bourdain, but more human drama and tragedy.
Okay. It's kind of like, it's a little bit like Uncut Gems. Like, it's very, like, intense and, like, fast-paced.
It's really good.
What's it on? What's The Bear on?
Hulu. It is on
Hulu. On Hulu. Okay. I'm adding it to my list.
Do you watch Treks at all? Because Strange New Worlds is like absolutely my favorite show.
No, I don't have an interest in Star Trek.
That's why I hear people say that. Like, I was talking to my partner and she said, I would never watch a Star Trek show. Never. And I'm like, you don't even know. Like, it's not like, I think when people are picturing like old Trek, which is rad. I love old Trek, but like, I get that it's not for everybody. Right. Like, but just I get frustrated when people are like unwilling to even consider it.
I'm not going to say never, but
I've watched 2 episodes of Deep Space Nine and I liked it, but I think I'm good.
Deep Space Nine. Yeah, this show is like, it's like an action sci-fi show with great characters and cool monsters. And it's fantastic. It's so well written and so well acted. I'm utterly impressed.
You think it would appeal even to people who aren't Star Trek fans?
Well, it
definitely appeals to normies.
Point.
Okay.
because there's an extended universe that it references, and I don't even get the cuts, and I've watched every series many, many times, and so it's not important to the show.
Okay. Well, that was best new TV show. Best ongoing TV show, I'll nominate Euphoria.
Oh, boy.
On HBO. And Better Call Saul which
heck yeah.
just came back after break this Monday and is still amazing. I can't believe they made a prequel to Breaking Bad that's longer than Breaking Bad, and at least it's at least as good as Breaking Bad. Maybe it'll end up being better. It's just
crazy,
amazing. And then just barely, I'll say The Boys, which I enjoy, but I also get frustrated by The Boys.
I finished it last night.
Yeah, it's like it's fun, but like. When you think back to like the first episode of season one, things are not that much different.
Yeah, exactly. Season three, it's like
they haven't
basically
made much
like
forward momentum.
Yeah, it's like how many different pairs of fighting characters can you do? And you know, and it's always gory and interesting and like you know, obscene. But like the actual like characters don't really change places very much. Yeah. It's just like they have try to play up like basic stuff like grudges between characters and stuff. It's like they resolve in like two episodes. It's very funny.
Yeah. And even when like they have an opportunity to kill off a major character, they usually don't.
Yeah. Which is too bad because like in a comic series, in a comic book pantheons, you can kill off characters because there's always another bigger, badder villain or like another cool twist. So it's like, you don't really need to stick with the cast of characters. That's kind of what's special about Marvel is that they keep on expanding the universe. Like that's what's really cool and special about it to me. So I think The Boys needs to do that. And I was excited this season with Soldier Boy, right? Like that was an expansion.
I liked that character.
Yeah. It just turned out that it, like, you know, they kind of stuck with the main cast too.
Okay, best movie I've seen, and this comes with a huge asterisk, because I have not seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, which sounds like a movie I would really like.
It's fun, yeah. I mean, I think, I don't
really
know.
Good.
Yeah. I think it's really good. I don't know if it'd be a Damien movie.
Oh, well. Well, that's interesting. But then I've seen three movies in theaters this year, Doctor Strange 2, Top Gun, Maverick, and The Batman. Mm-hmm. That's all I've seen. I liked all of those.
Me too.
They're all nominated.
I like Doctor Strange a lot. I can't wait to see Thor.
Oh man, I just cannot get motivated to see Thor. And I loved Ragnarok, but I think like a lot of people, post Endgame is just kind of like, it's just hard to get excited.
You take
and then,
it's like a standalone Ragnarok is the why I'm excited about it. You know,
I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Ragnarok didn't need to contribute to the canon as much as it just needed to be a fun movie, right?
No, that's true. But it's also, the trailers for Love and Thunder weren't doing much for me. And now that it's out, like, it, you know, reviews are pretty middling.
People are really divided on this one, which is surprising.
Yeah. I'll wait for Disney Plus.
Yeah, I can wait for Disney Plus for this one.
Yep.
You should read a spoiler article if you're not going to watch Captain Marvel, because that show ended up with something crazy.
You mean Ms. Marvel?
Well,
yeah. Oh, sorry.
I mean,
yes.
If it's just like the mention at the end, that was something that we like wrote about on IGN.
Oh, so you spoiled yourself already.
Yeah, but I didn't plan to watch that show. So
yeah, well, that's an important twist to the universe to look out for.
Ms. Marvel's a very charming show. You should give it. It's like I really love that actress.
Like,
I can't believe that I didn't realize that she'd never. It was the first thing she's ever acted
she's
in.
She's so good,
and she's so good. It's like I think she's like the best cast character since like Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. It's like perfect.
Yeah. She's just like fun just to watch.
She's fun to watch. And as this teen that like loves and stands all these superheroes, like she's perfectly cast.
Yeah.
But I'm right there with you, Damon. Like I've fallen off of the Marvel stuff hard. Like it was all I cared about. Like I was so invested in it and talked to my friends about it and talked about theories online and was like, you know, saw the movies opening night, and now it's like, if you were to chart my interest, it's just plummeted. Like, I still watch the show. I really, really like Ms. Marvel. Like, I still watch it, but like, I just like, I'm having such a hard time staying invested and continuing to care.
Well, we wrote about this, but I'm shocked that there's not a clear phase four trajectory, because a lot of the shows and movies have ended with like hints at where that's going. But they're all different from one another. There's like this, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus like doing like some kind of like, you know, anti-hero team. There's like a Secret War thing happening. It's just like, well, which is it? What should I care about?
That's what's been driving me crazy. It's the immediate thing out of the people's mouths is like, well, can't you just ignore something or enjoy something on its own terms? Why does it have to be like building to something bigger? And I'm like, but look, like they're doing that with the ending of their own shows and movies, like Doctor Strange.
Everyone,
what the media itself is doing. So when you're saying it's no longer giving you that, I was like, well, that was basically the whole crux of why I like this anyway. Without and it, like, it's like, meh.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah. I'm not going to spoil the end of Doctor Strange, but it ends on like a stinger. Like, it ends on an open-ended note, and like the movie didn't have to do that. Like, if they wanted to make Doctor Strange goes on an adventure and does cool shit, like, fine. But like, there, it's just, it's very chaotic in how it's kind of laid out right now. And by the way, it's just not as good. Like, the movies and shows just aren't as good as they were 5 years ago. So, you know, not for nothing. Like, make it stand alone or make them connected, but just make them really, really good. And then I think a lot of these criticisms go away.
Yeah. It's like, I totally get the common thing. Can't you just, you know, enjoy something for what it is? Can't something stand on its own? Sure. But it's like, if you consider it all a big story, it's like we had the whole thing, everything built up. We had our climax and we had our resolution. Yeah. It's over, the end. So it's just like, after Lord of the Rings, the end. Now here's another story about Lord of the Rings with just, you know, the stakes are not anywhere near as high. It's like, okay.
That's what Star Wars is doing too.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're judging it by its own merits.
And Lord of the Rings.
Maybe you should judge it by how it's connected to other things, because on its own merits, bad idea.
Man, and Game of Thrones is about to do all the spinoffs and prequels and everything. And I can't believe they announced like a Jon Snow sequel series though. Like, that's what you're talking about too. It's like, what could possibly happen in that? That's not like resurrected dragons and White Walkers and magic coming back to the planet, Children of the Earth and stuff. Like, what do we even care about anymore?
It's going to be great. Arya is going to come back. She's going to turn around, sail right back into the north. It's going to be the two of them going on adventures.
I don't know if Arya or if that actress wants to be Arya anymore.
She just needs to star in a failed Marvel movie like Kit Harington did.
Because he's like some kind of character in Marvel now too.
Yeah, I did not see Eternals. Okay, real quick, I wanted to share about what I've been playing recently. You know, there's just not anything really big new coming out. So, like, playing a little bit of Lego Skywalker Saga and Tiny Tina's Wonderlands and Sifu, and they're like, fine, I'm enjoying them, but they're not really grabbing me. So I thought, well, maybe I'll revisit an older game that I love, like Metal Gear Solid 5. You guys know? Yeah, but this is so weird. You cannot start a new game of Metal Gear Solid 5.
Can you go into your system and delete your files?
I mean, I deleted my save on my Xbox, and then when I opened up the game again, it just downloaded from the cloud.
Like, you're like, no, stop. Yeah.
But like, I mean, I could make a new profile and start a new game, but like, I'm not going to do that.
That's so funny. It's like Ultron. You can't get rid of them.
From within the game, Metal Gear Solid 5, they did not provide any way for you to start a new game. Now, it is mission-based.
You have to delete your entire save file, because I did that same thing, because I really just wanted to see that opening cutscene again, because that opening cutscene rules. Yeah. Just when you're going through the hospital, like, absolutely. Incredible stuff.
It's not even just a cutscene. A lot of that is playable.
A lot of it is playable, yeah.
Yeah. And so you can just start from the beginning again and do it that way, but it doesn't feel the same to me, because like, as soon as I ended that prologue, I'm just back on my chopper and I have all this money and I have all the weapons in the game. You know,
so is it a new game plus that you're starting again?
Well, I did finish it, but I don't know even, I finished the game, rolled credits. I don't even know if that was the real ending though. That was, you know, this is 7 years.
That's what I did too. I didn't do the full extent of the ending. Yeah.
There is definitely a pretty big secret ending.
Yeah.
Which also anyway, rules.
It didn't work for me trying to play Metal Gear Solid 5 again. So I'm doing Cyberpunk, the next gen version of Cyberpunk.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Nice. That's been really fun. And the first time I played at launch, I did a nomad character. I'm doing Street Kid this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it stable? Or are you in PS5? Really fun.
I'm doing it on my Xbox Series X. Okay. And I actually never had, I didn't have any problems at launch.
Right. So,
but now it's, you know, I think it's a little bit prettier and it's just a really, really, really fun game now that they've sorted everything out.
Oh, are you going to do a swords build?
Probably not swords. I'm usually pretty stealthy.
I would start that if I wasn't so excited about Live Alive next week.
I'm excited about Live Alive too.
I'm excited.
Okay. It's gonna be great. I'm Alan, I'm going to share my screen. This is the July 2011 issue of the official PlayStation magazine with Skyrim on the cover. Oh. 2011 is known to be one of the great years in video gaming.
I mean, look what's coming out here.
Yeah. 11-11-11.
This is an unbelievable stack of games on this cover.
Yep. Yeah. This is the month I joined
IGN. Starhawk.
Oh, wow.
Dude, you get Starhawk, of course.
That's crazy, Justin. Yeah, on the cover you've got, of course, Skyrim, then Uncharted 3, BioShock Infinite, Twisted Metal, Tomb Raider, and Starhawk. Oh, and then Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, and the Deus Ex and Assassin's Creed, L.A. Noir, Ninja Gaiden.
L.A. Noir and Ninja Gaiden? Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, 2011. So at the top, they're covering PS3, PS2, and PSP games.
Mm-hmm.
This time. Right. And then I guess they were right in the midst at this time of the big PSN outage. That's what the whole letter from the editor is all about. It was out for like a whole month, right? In April or May. So when they were putting this July issue together, they were probably in the middle of the outage.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a Wikipedia page dedicated to this PSN outage.
Really?
This year. Yeah.
I don't remember this. Is this in the PlayStation Home era?
It would have been after Home.
I mean, Home was probably dead at this point.
Like, I remember, you know, Greg and Colt, like, our PlayStation team was also hitting it really hard every single day.
Yeah. And then, you guys remember Core, the show in PlayStation Network that was free to PlayStation Plus subscribers?
No.
I vaguely remember it. It was hosted by Veronica Belmont. And, like, so there's a page in this magazine here where they just say, this is what's inside the next episode of Core. They have a feature on Journey, the Captain America game, an interview with Ted Price. They've got No More Heroes. And then a Blu-ray spotlight on superhero movies.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I never watched Core. But yeah, I know. It was free for PlayStation Plus subscribers and then $2.99 if you weren't. $2.99 an episode.
Wow.
Expensive. Oh, man.
Yeah, a full-page ad for the Lord of the Rings Blu-ray.
I legit ripped out all of my 4K Blu-rays and then put them in the case for this Blu-ray set because of how good it is.
Yeah, so I used this set until I just got the 4K ones, like, in December.
Why is it a 15-disc set?
Oh, the bonus features are on DVDs, not Blu-rays.
Okay, yeah.
Gotcha. 9 special feature DVDs.
Yeah.
That stuff is still only on DVDs, including the rare bonus documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's an ad for video game storage. It's like you can put your games in there and also your Rock Band instruments.
That's funny.
You
just store them all together.
I worked at Best Buy during this era. I definitely sold these.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
What's on top of them? Oh, controller storage. Okay.
Yeah, controllers go on the top, and then there's a rack for games, and then you hang the guitars on the side.
More plastic to hang your plastic on.
Yep, exactly. So what they call the Big Ten, just stories everyone's talking about. Starhawk, which was the sequel to Warhawk, or just the successor, I guess.
Yeah. This is what I'm learning from this magazine is a little bit of a weird era for PlayStation, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It was the era when like Xbox was really dominant.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, obviously, like Uncharted, like, like those are memories and games that'll stick with me forever. Yeah. But like month to month, week to week, like it was a little bit of a tougher time for PlayStation. Yeah.
Mitch Dyer reviewed Starhawk for us, gave it a 9. So he likes that one.
Wow.
Yeah. Then you got the new Tomb Raider, of course, the reboot of Tomb Raider, which wouldn't be out for 2 more years, I don't think.
Wow. Okay.
It was a 2013 game. I think maybe it was 2012. Maybe I'm wrong. This is the Lord of the Rings game I have no memory of. Lord of the Rings War in the North.
Oh, yeah.
This is an RPG. Isn't this a turn-based RPG?
It's a real-time strategy game, I think.
Ah, okay.
No, the real-time strategy game was Shadows of Middle-earth.
That was
Battle
for Middle-earth.
Battle for Middle-earth. I don't.
But this
know
is a strategy game. Right?
I think War in the North is the one that uses the Final Fantasy X battle scheme where you can see the turns that people are going to take.
I think so too. It's the traditional. Well, like it's the tradition. Didn't they made 2 of them, right? Like 2 just very straight up, like the 2 sides are going to line up and attack each other RPGs. I didn't play them.
I don't know. They're really leaning on this feature, this dismemberment feature.
Mm-hmm.
I would too. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, games started to have that a lot then. Like Mass Effect had that. Mass Effect 3, especially.
Yeah.
I actually gave War in the North a 7.
Yeah. Need for Speed The Run, a forgotten Need for Speed game. I think we gave it a 6.
This is the one that has like live action cutscenes in it, right? I think it has like live action cutscenes followed by actual gameplay. I think
that's,
I might be
that's
wrong.
That's hilarious. If it was in, there's so few games with that by 2011.
I could be
is
wrong.
This the era? Is this the era of the movie with Aaron Paul?
I believe you are correct.
No, that was way later, wasn't it? Because that was like post Breaking Bad.
I don't remember when Breaking Bad ended.
Movie. 2014. So yeah, this is early.
Okay. Well, early. The Assassin's Creed of this issue is Revelations. I don't think I ever played that one.
This is the final one in the Desmond trilogy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, Ezio. Well, Ezio story. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Ezio story.
Desmond's part of I see. No, you're right. Yeah,
I guess so. 2011 is this when the Toys to Life thing was starting?
Huge. Yeah, I mean, if you're seeing guitars advertised still, Toys to Life is big.
So you've got Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure in here.
As the former Best Buy employee, these things were these were the Cabbage Patch Kids. Like parents were where can I get this special figure? And I'm like, I don't know, man. We only got like two of them. And also, fun fact. Once I started working at IGN, I lived in the same apartment complex as the creative director or some big hand who had a play in the Toys to Life Activision wing, specifically over Skylanders. She lived just above me. Real nice lady.
Well, I don't know that I've ever seen something like come and go faster, where it's like it was the biggest. Well, let me take that.
What about draw something?
Yeah. So that's what I was saying. Like, I've seen things come and go faster, but never like have a bigger, more precipitous and faster fall of like, this was the biggest thing on planet Earth. And there was Disney Infinity and Amiibo and Skylanders.
Lego Dimensions.
And Lego Dimensions. And then after one Christmas, they were just gone.
And
like, we're not doing that anymore.
Amiibo hung in there.
That's true,
but it was a little later. I mean, it wasn't definitely didn't overlap with Skylanders, if much. There is a very funny crate of these I just put together in the San Francisco office, where like they were in a bunch of different other bins, and I finally like assembled all the Skylanders crap into like one big pile, and it's really fun to dig through.
That stuff is also probably, maybe I shouldn't say this, but that stuff's probably, that crate is probably worth like $10,000 on eBay. Like,
100%. Well,
but they're loose, right? Well, there's some sealed stuff, but the really cool ones are the ones that people like brought back from like, you know, a convention or something. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they just were giving this away there. It's like, whoa, those are probably $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in a museum. It's going to be okay.
Yeah,
this is the Reader's Most Wanted, the official PlayStation Magazine's Reader's Most Wanted games as of July 2011. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 and Final Fantasy 14.
Oh,
which
did we already know that was an MMO?
Yeah,
well, this is pre-Realm Reborn.
Right.
Was it? So, yeah, so this is before it would launch and have a disastrous launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That is immediately followed by Final Fantasy 13 2, Uncharted 3, Infamous 2. Wow. Twisted Metal, Battlefield 3, Arkham City. This is a Batman game, though.
Yeah, pretty not bad list.
Way back and coming in at number 20 was The Last Guardian.
It would be 10 more years.
Yeah, I would like to point out that Duke Nukem Forever is ranked higher than Skyrim.
There you go. And they have this sort of back and forth editorial on, is competitive online multiplayer broken? But I read some of it. It is kind of silly because one guy just doesn't like multiplayer games and the other guy does.
Okay.
And that's their back and forth. Twisted Metal again, which I think we gave a 9. I think we liked this one.
I never need to play one of those again.
It's been rebooted a couple times.
But was this the last Twisted Metal that was released?
Oh.
2011?
I don't know.
No, there's a TV show in production right now.
Yeah.
There is a TV show. That's what's happening. Yeah.
With
a little bit strange.
With oddly incredible casting.
You've got a big preview on Bioshock Infinite.
They had some good games coming up at this era.
Oh, dude, you got Shadows of the Dam too.
Shadows of the Dam, a game I completely forgot about. Is this a Suda 5-1 game?
That's a Suda 5-1.
Oh, I think we gave it. I don't remember.
I think we gave it a 7.
Did he
do you like this one, Nick? Wait, Nick, did you like Shadows of the Dam?
Uh, it, I played I think they had a demo on Xbox. This was during the phase where I just didn't have money for video games, so I downloaded every demo on Xbox Live. And I'm pretty sure there was a demo for this one. I remember being like, this rules, but I'm not going to spend $60 on it because I don't have any money.
Is the current Suda 5-1 project No More Heroes 3, or did that just come out or something? Is that what he's working on?
Mm-hmm. No More Heroes 3. And also, I take it back, Damon. It's not... It is a Suda 5-1, but it's a Grasshopper game. I think this was one of the last Grasshopper games. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is Grasshopper
Suda
no
51
more?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Someone's going to correct me on that. But
I know.
I'm pretty sure Grasshopper doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think it does.
Or no, maybe I'm confusing with Clover. They're also so...
Yeah, Clover made Okami.
Clover made Okami, and they don't exist. Yeah. Grasshopper still does, though.
Okay. Well, then where does Platinum fit into all that?
Well, that one, it's, I think, of a similar ilk of action, like Japanese action game.
But they didn't acquire anything, or no, they're separate.
Yeah, okay. Platinum's still going strong.
Yep.
There's a feature on Prey 2, which of course would be canceled.
This is the Bounty Hunter one, right?
This is the Bounty Hunter one. And I remember at E3 this year, so it would have been, you know, a month before this magazine was out. We got hands-off previews of both Skyrim and Prey 2 from Bethesda.
It looked awesome.
It looks awesome. Yeah. Damon, you might remember this. I don't know if you did see it at E3, but I didn't. But they brought it to the office, and we saw it in our demo room. About 20 of us went in and watched an incredible vertical slice of it.
Of Prey 2?
Yeah, it looked like Cyberpunk.
I definitely saw it. I saw it in a hotel room at E3 with a bunch of other people.
Yeah, it was an incredible demo. And again, like it was Cyberpunk. Like it looked so much better than the Prey game that came out. But some people
like the Prey game. Justin likes the Prey game. The Prey, just Prey. Yeah.
It's very different tonally than what we were shown.
Yeah,
Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Remember when Street Fighter Cross Tekken? It's pretty crazy that this actually happened. Remember when they originally announced this? There it was going to be Street Fighter Cross Tekken and also Tekken Cross Street Fighter. That one never happened.
It was going to be because they're very different fighting styles, right? So exactly. It was going to be like Street Fighter characters in the Tekken style, and then Tekken fighters in the Street Fighter style. Which, you know, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
There were other crosses anyway.
That was a quick 1999 bin at Best Buy ad. that one went to 1999 very quickly.
Well, speaking of, how about Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City?
Oh, oof.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Didn't they also make a kind of a sequel to this one? Like,
they keep making them. They keep making them, like, every couple years.
Some new one coming out this year?
I don't know. Nobody knows, Damon.
Reverse, you're talking about.
Yeah, Reverse, right? Isn't it just another multiplayer Resident Evil thing?
There was a multiplayer Resident Evil that was released during the pandemic, because I remember it bricked my PS4 when I tried to play it with everybody on staff. It was early on, so that would have been 2021.
Just give me Resident Evil Outbreak. That's all we want. Give me Resident Evil Outbreak 3.
Wow. That's all you want? Outbreak 3?
That'd be great.
That's the top of your Resident Evil list.
Well, no, but if they had to give me, I'd rather have that than Operation Raccoon City.
All right.
This is a shooter I have no memory of. Inversion.
Yeah, I don't
published,
remember.
Published by Namco Bandai, developed by Saber Interactive.
There was an Xbox 360 demo for this. I definitely played it, but I don't remember anything.
I think you can turn gravity off or upside down. I think that's
what was the one, Damon, where you would run up the side of like a giant cliff or something, and it would like reorient the camera behind you. You could like duck behind the cover for that and shoot.
Dark Void.
And they made Dark Void Zero.
Which was awesome.
You couldn't. You couldn't possibly devise a more generic looking protagonist for your video game. We really got to stand out from the pack. What should we have? Put him in jeans and a white shirt. Yeah. Should it have a color on it? No. Just
look,
white.
He's walking all over his jeans. They're too long.
Yeah, they are too long.
But it was 2011, so.
which was the style at the time.
Hike those up before you go in the bathroom, dude.
Yeah. Watch out for the back. They got Dragon's Dogma in here, which they just announced a sequel is happening.
I just started replaying that like two weeks ago.
How does this hold up?
It's terrific.
I mean, I liked it. I liked it at the time.
It's terrific.
Asura's Wrath, another Capcom joint.
I downloaded that like 3 weeks ago.
This is definitely an E3 demo that we all played because it was, you know, 15 minutes long and only cut or quick time events. Very funny.
Yeah.
It's a TV show, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since Capcom has tried something crazy like this. It was rad.
Yep.
Max Payne 3, The Darkness 2. I like both the Darkness games.
Yeah. I think I like the first one a little better, but Payne 3 also rules.
I never played Max Payne 3. I remember it was sort of like, I think it was like divisive at launch.
Just because Rockstar Games made it as opposed to the Remedy people.
Or, is that all Rockstar, it was?
Which should be a good thing.
It's a very different kind. It was more, there's a lot of times in that game where it takes control out of your hand in the way that the original Max Payne didn't. But still great game.
Now, I need help. My memory's failing me. Are they remaking Max Payne?
Yeah, they're doing... Remedy is a new one announced. Max Payne 1 and 2.
Okay.
Hey, well, remember how The Darkness 2... I never played that game, but The Darkness 2 had like a famous mode where you could like watch a whole movie with your
girlfriend. Yeah, it was like one of the first times just... And TVs would have actual movies playing on them. Cool. Actual old movies, yeah.
Kind of like a proto-immersive sim. I mean, obviously Deus Ex is out at this point, but... There's some interesting stuff in the original Darkness.
Oh yeah, because it's also
that a Todd McFarlane like related comic series?
I'm not sure, but
it is a comic, right?
Yeah, they did make a comic.
Yeah, and then Mike Patton is the voice of the Darkness.
Oh, really?
Pretty great. Yeah,
of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fame,
of Bionic Commando fame. They've got Driver, San Francisco, and then they're asking, where the hell is Hitman 5? And I wonder which one that would end up being.
Mm-hmm. That would be Hitman 2016, I think. Yeah, because Hitman.
Well, that would be 5 years away. So that would be years away.
Absolution would be the one we're talking about.
Absolution would be the one. Okay.
Because Hitman and then
after Absolution, is that when they rebooted it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah, Blood Money, I think, is 3.
Oh man, they've got a little tidbit on Warp. If anyone remembers the Xbox Live Arcade game Warp,
yeah,
I guess it was also on PlayStation Network. Yeah.
That game was really cool.
That game was very, very cool. They got their Skyrim feature. They've got Mass Effect 3. 10 next PS3 RPGs. Let's see how many of these Nick played. Final Fantasy 13 to Tales of Graces F.
Played it.
Dungeon Siege 3.
I played the demo for it on Xbox 360.
Risen 2 Dark Waters.
I played the demo of the first one, but didn't bother with the second.
They got Dark Souls on here.
Whoa.
Hell yeah, dude. Oh my gosh. What a groundbreaking game this is going to go on to be.
Yeah, they have no idea. They got Deus Ex Human Revolution, Lord of the Rings War in the North.
Oh, man. Human Revolution was good, man.
Disgaea 4, great game. White Knight Chronicles 2.
Even though this is a weird time for PS3, like this is a crazy cool lineup. Like for I would have played so many of these games.
Just like here we're deep in the heart of the PS3 and the 360 generation, which was just a fantastic time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This year was also Red Dead Redemption, right? Yeah. Or was that 2010? Maybe that's 2010.
2010. Yeah, that's right before it.
Is it White Knight Chronicles level 5? I don't know. Level 5, yes. The development studio.
Yeah, Level 5 is the developer.
That's one of those games. I didn't own a PS3 during this era, but that's one of those games, White Knight Chronicles. I'm curious now that I do own a PS3 to go and revisit that. Just it's probably not good, but I just want to touch it, you know?
Yeah.
Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning is number 10 on this list.
Dude, before it bankrupt the state of Rhode Island or something.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. A lot of legal battles after that one.
Yeah. Crazy.
Based on the RP or the MMO though, right? Not that game, because that was like a standalone.
Well, they had plans to do like a million other games, and this was the only one that came out.
It's Kurt Schilling's joint, right?
They got a re-release not too long ago. The Re-Reckoning or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Re-Reckoning. We're starting to run long. Just quick on the reviews. They've got L.A. Noire. They loved it. Gave that a 9. Red Faction Armageddon got a 7. That sounds about right.
Red Faction.
I've never heard of Red Johnson's Chronicles. I think it's a point-and-click game.
It got a 7.
Yeah. There was a Wizardry game on PS3, I guess. What? It got a 5. Yeah. Yeah. Wizardry is pretty old school.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime? I don't remember.
On PSN. I mean, I played the Ghostbusters 3 video game, which was really, really good.
Yeah. This one got a 3. What else is in here? Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, fantastic puzzle game. They gave that a 9.
What is Capybara doing now?
Well, they did Grindstone.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good game. But yeah, that's about the last thing. Because they did Below, which took forever to come out, and then it ended up being just kind of okay.
So they were off the grid like 7 years working on Below.
Yeah. They have a Blu-ray feature on Drive Angry. I've never seen this movie. Nick, have you seen this one?
No. That's one of my Nick Cage blind spots.
It's a Nick Cage movie. I guess they liked it, though. I don't know. I've never seen that one.
Is this the one? What's the gun? The Nick Cage gun movie. He's always shooting guns.
Oh, whatever.
It's the same Nick Cage era.
And you'll notice that this is the Blu-ray 3D era, right? So they just mentioned that is shot in 3D.
Yeah.
PlayStation even had dedicated 3D tiny TVs. They're really cool.
I was just thinking about those because I really like one of those in the box because I think it'll be very valuable.
Look at how good all these games are.
Yeah, they have a feature on the best PSN games. Costume Quest, Pac-Man Championship Edition, Joe Danger, Flower, Pixel Junk Shooter, Plants vs. Zombies, Braid, Stacking, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and Pixel Junk Monsters.
Incredible. Incredible.
All good stuff. All good stuff.
Yep.
And they have like a feature on like what other movies and videos are available on PSN. And that is the July 2011 issue of official PlayStation Magazine.
Yeah, got a little bit of a weird era for video games, I think.
But a lot of really good stuff coming at that time.
For sure.
All right, I'm going to stop sharing my screen.
Honestly, so much more to look forward to than I have to look forward to right now with video games. I mean, I'm looking forward to games, don't get me wrong. But like, that was a crazy time.
Sad, but true. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Snorky in Newcastle upon Tyne, UK. I think it's just Newcastle. I think it's just a fancy way of saying Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
Let the questioning begin.
Do you think that's their real name?
I think the full name is Newcastle upon Tyne.
No, their name.
Oh, Snorky? Definitely.
Can't wait for the Snorkies, an annual award show. all right. Is this a game that came out after the... Well, could it have been in this issue of this magazine?
No.
Well, but now, is it because it's not on a PlayStation platform or because of the era in which it came out?
Well, they mentioned other stuff.
Yeah.
It came out after.
Okay. So it's what? Oh, it's July 2011? That's actually pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Can you play this game on the Nintendo Switch?
Yes.
Ooh.
Did it come out on a system before the Nintendo Switch?
No.
Okay. Mm. Straight to Switch is what we call that.
Yeah.
S2S.
In the biz. Mm-hmm.
S2S.
Is this game S2S? okay, was this game made in Japan?
No.
Okay. Next out.
Yeah, that eliminates Nintendo games. Most of them. Unless it's Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, although that came out on the Wii U.
Let's see here.
Is this game playable on platforms other than the Nintendo Switch?
Yes, that's 5.
Is this game part of a collection? Like, is it a collection style game?
No. let's say no.
What just happened?
It's a little bit tricky, but we can say no, I think, pretty definitively.
Are you asking whether you can collect things in the game or that it's a collection of games?
Like, it's a collection of games is what I meant.
Let's say no.
Okay, I don't like that one bit.
Should we go for, like, genre? Like, type of game, maybe?
I mean, is this game, I want to know if it's like full price or not.
Yeah. Indie. You could just ask if it's an indie game.
Did this game cost, when it was originally released, $50 or more?
Yes.
Okay. So I can't think of that many Switch games that are like full priced, full on games that are also on other platforms.
It kind of makes me think that it's like one of those arcade archive style games that would have been expensive way back when, but then re-released on the Switch. The way he answered that collection thing makes me think that This is a series of games, like Arcade Archives are, but it usually is a restoration of one specific game.
But we do know it came to Switch first. It wasn't an old game.
Yeah, it's not an old game.
Oh, it's not an old game.
Andy said it's not a collection of games.
Yeah. Was this published by a company that does E3 style live streams?
No.
Okay, so not Sega then. Does Sega do?
I'm just saying it's not Ubisoft. It's not EA. Yeah.
I don't know why my heart's saying it's a Sega game of some sort, but it's not a Japanese game, so never mind.
Is this game multiplayer focused?
No.
I'm really thrown off by the full price thing. Like, how many full price Switch games also came to other, like, multi-platform games have come out over the last 5 years?
Does this game have, it could be Hitman. Japanese made. Does this have realistic graphics?
Yes, that's 10.
Yeah, you're right. Could be Hitman.
Is this rated, what's the one that's under, is it M?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this rated M or above?
It's never yes. Rated. Yes.
Oh, okay. Maybe it is Hitman 3.
A shooty game.
Or just Hitman. Like, well, I don't know how they release it on Switch.
The collection thing is a thing I'm stuck on because technically Hitman 3 is a collection of all the
other
games.
And, okay, no, you're totally right because that's why Damon was so weird about it because, like, the game has the Hitman is a platform that has all the other games inside of it, right?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask if you play as a Hitman.
Yes.
I mean, I was going to ask if your character has hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this Hitman 3? I think is what it was called.
I don't know how it works.
Hitman 3. Yes. Up there in 13. Yeah. Cause it combined all of the Hitman's the trilogy together. But this game was Hitman 3.
Was this on the Switch? Was this a streaming game?
Yeah. And I played it.
That's how Sam played it on the Switch. Yeah.
A lot of it. Very funny.
Great.
Did not
great
work.
Great game.
But really say, still like that. No, the streaming doesn't work at all. It's total garbage, but the game is still good enough that it shined through. And I very much enjoy that game. That second level, the
mansion,
the mansion.
Oh my gosh.
The murder mystery. So that was really, cool. Really good. Yeah. Yeah. Great game. Nicely job. Thank you for the suggestion. Snorky in Newcastle upon Tyne. I had a lot of other fun segments today, but we ran out of time. I'll save them for next episode. Actually, we've got something special planned next week. We're no regular episode next week because of Comic-Con, but tomorrow we're pre-taping a 100 question special just for you guys. Yep. Yep.
I don't know. I don't want to go anymore then.
It's happening. It's happening.
It's so stressful.
Don't worry. Okay. I'll be there to walk you through it. It'll be good. So that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Nick. Thank you to Alan working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.